Let me ask you to turn with me now in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This is the petition on forgiveness, and as I'd mentioned last week, it's too much to deal with in one sermon, so we're in a second sermon on this second part of this petition. And let me just tell you, of all the sermons I've done on Lord's Prayer, this has probably been the most difficult to do. And I think it's because what a professor told me one time at seminary, he says the thing about the Bible is you don't read it, it reads you. And when it does, it puts its finger on an issue that every single person in this room has to deal with in their life, and a deep need that we have, not just to be forgiven, but to forgive. Let's read God's Word. Verse 12, Jesus says, and we are to pray, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. I ask you to keep your Bibles open. This is God's Word. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. There are parts that we rejoice in. There are parts that we swallow hard and try to move on. But yet, Father, all your Word is given to us for our instruction and also to make us over into the very image of your Son, Jesus Christ, who forgave us all our debts. Lord, bless us as we look into your Word, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we examine the second part of this petition, our Lord taught us to pray. I'd like to talk with you about bounty hunters wearing nitroglycerin around the neck, being in the doghouse, and broken lamps. But before I do that, I have a confession to make. At one point in my life, I was a hitman. You heard me right, a hitman. Not a mafia hitman, not a gang member hitman. I didn't carry a gun with a scope attached. But I did have a clipboard with names and addresses and phone numbers, contracts on people, written in paper. And I had a commission. The commission was to go to homes, knock on the door, and collect past due payments for a store selling Curtis Mathis televisions to people on a rent-to-own basis. Now, I was actually called a hitman by several people I visited. As I made these hitman home visits, several homes, my approach varied from house to house. Sometimes I would explain to them very politely how not paying on that day could go a long way toward ruining their credit score. Other times I'd tell them if they didn't pay up right then and there, me and my partner were coming in to remove their television from their house, which I can tell you did not go over well around midday when most of the ladies were at home watching Days of Our Lives. Sometimes I threatened to call the police. Sometimes when I was dealing with college students, I threatened to call their mothers. Now, the bill collector's job is a necessary job. It paid me quite well, but honestly, I had no desire whatsoever to continue in that occupation. I mean, I ask you, who in their right minds wants to spend their days confronting people about what they owe you? Nobody. Nobody wanted to take my calls. No one was happy to see me at the doorstep. I even had a gun pulled on me. Twice. Now, can you imagine spending your days like this, collecting debts that people owe you? Well, perhaps you can. Perhaps you should. In fact, even the best among us spend time demanding payment. After all, doesn't someone owe you something? Doesn't someone owe you an apology? Or an explanation? A thank you? A normal childhood? A good marriage? Think through this with me. When someone sins against you, you lose something. You lose your good reputation because of something someone said about you. You get stabbed in the back, figuratively speaking, by a friend you no longer have. The relational wound still throbs with pain. You lose a business opportunity. Someone made sure you didn't get that business. You lose a relationship you once had with someone because some third party deliberately sabotaged your relationship. You lose a sizable amount of money because someone cheated you in a business deal. You lose time wasted trying to help someone who ended up biting the hand that fed them. See, in our minds, you and I have debtors. People that should have given you something but didn't. Think back. Your parents should have given you perhaps more protection growing up, more boundaries, more attention. They should have valued you more, should have nurtured you more, should have affirmed you more than they did. And your life is diminished, maybe even damaged because of what your parents did not give you, and you now feel like they owe you. Your children should have given you more appreciation than they did. What a bunch of ingrates. Your spouse should have given you more sensitivity, more understanding, more patience. She should have provided more help instead of being so selfish. You could add to the list. And I can assure you, you have a list. All your life, people have taken something from you. They've dipped their hands in your purse. They've pickpocketed your wallet. They've accessed your online account. They've taken what is yours. And in your life's story, people owe you. And that is the reality of living in a fallen world. People owe you. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do about the debt you're owed by people who have wronged you? I submit to you this morning that few questions are more important than what are you going to do about the debt that people owe you. So right here in the Lord's Prayer, in the second part of this petition, let's consider how Jesus tells us to deal with those debts owed to us by people who have sinned against us. How do we deal with those debts owed to us by people who sinned against us? And I want you to notice, Jesus not for one moment denies the reality of our wounds. We're all debtors who've had something taken from us. He doesn't doubt for one moment in this fallen world full of sinful people. We have been victimized. We have been sinned against. But the question is this, given the reality, yes, you have been sinned against many times. How are you going to deal with your debtors? Before you answer that question, there's two considerations from God's Word that should guide us in how we deal with that debt that people owe us for wronging us. First consideration is this. You should consider the high cost of getting even. That's the first consideration. People owe you. You should consider the high cost of getting even. You know, getting even with those who owe us is one option. When people wrong you, yes, you can go down that road of getting even. But if you go down that road, well, I read a story the other day in Yellowstone National Park about a giant grizzly bear in the center of a clearing. He's feeding on some discarded camp food. For several minutes, the grizzly bear feasted alone. No creature dared come near him. After a while, a skunk strolled through the clearing, went straight to the food, and took his place right by the grizzly bear. You know what? The grizzly bear did nothing. You know why, don't you? Grizzly bear knew the high cost of getting even. Friends, we would be wise to consider the high cost of getting even. Choosing to settle the score with people who've wronged you, people who've taken something from you, has some very high price tags. Let's look at a few of those price tags. One is this. When you spend your life collecting debts, you pay a price relationally in your relationships. Have you ever noticed in the old Western movies how the bounty hunter always travels by himself? It's not hard to see why. Who wants to hang out with a guy who settles scores for a living? Who wants to risk getting on his bad side? You know, more than once I have heard a person spew his anger toward others. He thought I was listening, but what I was doing in my mind, I was thinking, man, I hope I never get on this guy's bad side. Proverbs 22:24 wisely warns us, do not make friends with an angry person, or even associate with hot-tempered people. Proverbs 22:24. You know, you hang out with bounty hunters, chances are you'll catch a stray bullet. And if you're in the business of debt settling, get ready for a very lonely life. If you're all about getting debt settled, people will go out of their way to stay away from you relationally. People who do not forgive are signing up for a long trip down a lonely road. Also, when you spend time collecting debts, another price you pay is this. You pay physically. The Bible says it best, Job 5:8, resentment kills a fool. Job 5:8. Kind of reminds me, and you need to check out some of these old radio comedies. You know, we've lost those days. All we watch is these sitcoms on TV, but the radio ones are really good. It reminds me a little bit of a classic radio comedy routine from a couple called Amos and Andy. Some of you may remember Amos and Andy. There's this routine. Amos asks Andy, Andy, what are you wearing around your neck? Andy says, Amos, this is a little bottle of nitroglycerin. Now, nitroglycerin is a highly explosive substance. It's very sensitive to the touch. Amos is stunned that Andy would be wearing something so dangerous around his neck. So Amos asks for an explanation, and Andy says this, well, you see, Amos, there's this man I know who has a bad habit of speaking to people and poking them in the chest. He's driving me crazy, so next time he pokes me in the chest, this nitro is going to blow his hand off. You know, Andy's not the first, nor will he be the last to discover the hard way. When you try to get even with someone who hurts you, you're the one that gets hurt. Friends, thousands of years before medical science discovered the devastating physical effects of resentment, in Job 18:4, it reads, you tear yourself to pieces in your anger. Job 18:4. Ever notice how we describe people who we resent as a pain in the neck? Just whose neck are we talking about? Not theirs. When we demand a debt be paid, we're the ones who suffer. Being an unforgiving person exacts from us a high physical cost. But here's the highest price tag. Yes, there is a relational cost. There is a physical cost. But the highest, steepest, greatest price tag we pay when we do not forgive is this. We pay a very high price spiritually. And I'm talking about with your most important relationship, not your relationship with those who wronged you, but your relationship with the Lord. Now I want you to listen, just listen to what Jesus says. Just listen. Right here in Matthew 6, look at verse 14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow. Mark 11, verses 25 and 26, let me read this to you. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. Mark 11, verses 25 and 26. People step over the line with us. We're asked to forgive. And then in Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35, just jot this down. I won't just tell you the story. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. There's a story of a servant who owes the master what would be considered in today's economy millions of dollars. It's an amount the servant can never repay, so the master forgives the debt. The servant walks away a debt-free man. And then, irony of all ironies, the servant comes across another servant who owes him what would be in today's economy about $400. And he grabs that servant. He demands payment, and he demands the servant be thrown into jail. How dare you not pay that debt? And you know what happened? The master was angry at that servant who would not forgive that small debt. And then Jesus says, so it will be with you. Okay, let's sort this out. Now, when Jesus tells us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, is Jesus saying that His forgiveness of us is conditional on our forgiveness of others? Well, friends, if that's the case, then our forgiveness of others would be a work on our part that merits God's forgiveness of us. And you don't want to go there because the Bible doesn't go there either. And we would be rewriting this petition to read as follows. And forgive us our debts because we forgive our debtors. You see, except for confessing the sins we know of, there's no condition set on God's forgiveness of our sin debt through the death of Jesus Christ. The Bible is so clear on this, friends. We're saved. Our sin debt is totally canceled because of God's grace in Christ plus nothing else. No work on our part. Forgiving others is not a work that merits or earns God's forgiveness of us. So what's going on here? Well, what's going on here is something like this. Jesus is telling us God will treat you in accordance with the beliefs of your heart. God will treat you in accordance to the beliefs of your heart. Let me put it this way. If you believe it's a good thing and a righteous thing and a correct thing to harbor resentment and to tabulate wrongs done against you, then when you ask God for forgiveness, when you plead to God for forgiveness, He's going to see that plea for what it is. You know what it is? It is sheer hypocrisy because you're asking God to do something you think is a bad thing to do. If you will not forgive, obviously you hold forgiveness in very low esteem. And here you are asking God to put this high value on something that you have placed a low value on? Friends, if you're a Christian, nothing you ever do, ever, can make your Heavenly Father stop loving you. Hear that? Nothing. There's nothing you can do to make your Heavenly Father stop loving you. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ, Romans 8. But rest assured, when you refuse to forgive others, you place yourself at odds with God. God is displeased. And you cannot both live in God's doghouse of displeasure and at the same time have a close relationship with your Heavenly Father. Can't happen. Fact is, those of us who really understand the millions of dollars of sin debt God has forgiven us, we will be, even if we have a hard time with it, we will be predisposed by God's grace in our heart to forgive that much, much, much smaller debt that someone owes to us. Now, that's not easy. Have you noticed movies, TV shows, novels? They promote revenge. They promote payback. But friends, this is doable. But it begins with this prayer. Heavenly Father, forgive me for my sin of not forgiving others. And by your grace, help me to value what you value. Help me to value forgiveness enough to offer it to those who've wronged me. Help me to really, not just say, but really value forgiveness. Now, having considered the high cost of getting even, if we're going to deal with this sin that others commit against us, second consideration is this. You should consider how to practice forgiveness of others. Let's consider in the second place, how do you practice forgiveness of others? Let's get practical here. When it comes to us, what is forgiveness? Let me give you a definition. Here's forgiveness between people. Forgiveness means giving up the right to demand repayment from those who harmed you. It means giving up the right to demand repayment from those who harmed you. Now, think about for a moment how monetary debts work. Okay, let's say a friend breaks your lamp. The lamp costs $100 to replace. Then the act of lamp breaking incurs a debt of $100. Cost $100, the debt's $100. Now, if I let my friend pay for and replace the lamp, I get my lamp back. My friend is out $100. But if I forgive my friend for what he did, guess what? The debt doesn't go away. The debt doesn't vanish into thin air. When I forgive him, I absorb the cost of the lamp. Let me put it this way. To forgive is to cancel a debt owed by somebody else, to cancel it by absorbing the debt yourself. That's forgiveness. Canceling the debt by absorbing the debt yourself. But please, someone's always got to pay the debt. Now, when you're sinned against, you lose something. Perhaps money, property, a job, an opportunity. You lose a good reputation, a relationship. You lose something. That's true. But what do you do about the loss? Okay, let's take a for instance here. Let's say someone has said something about you that causes you to lose your good reputation in the eyes of some people. I want that reputation restored, but how? See, now we come to a decision crossroads. You got two choices. You can attempt to restore your reputation by voicing public criticisms, ruining the reputation of the one who robbed you of your reputation, or you can forgive the person who damaged your reputation. When you forgive, you absorb the damage. It is now your reputation to rebuild. Now you're thinking, wait, if I forgive, if I don't demand payback, then I suffer? Me? Yes, you do. Now let me ask you a question. Does that remind you of someone else who has suffered for your damages in the past? Can you think of anyone in your life who himself suffered to pay off in full the debt you owed for every sin you've ever committed? The debt you owe for every sin you will commit today and every sin you will commit in the future? Friends, do you understand what happened on the cross? Jesus absorbed your sin debt. All of it. If Jesus absorbed your sin debt, if he paid it all, then why don't you think you can absorb a lesser debt someone owes you? How do I do it? How do I actually put forgiveness into practice? Let me give you just real quickly three practical guidelines. If you want to really forgive someone, first of all, refuse revenge and payback. Refuse it. As you deal with the person who's wronged you, you avoid making cutting remarks, dragging skeletons out of the closet of past injuries. You avoid freezing them out. I've been in marriage counseling sessions where there's no forgiveness, and as soon as one of the partners walks in, the temperature drops to minus 20. Freezing them out. Why? Because I still want to punish them. I hadn't canceled the debt. They're going to pay some way. Refuse revenge and payback. Secondly, refuse to employ innuendo, spin, gossip, slander, anything that's going to diminish that person in the eyes of others. Don't run people down under the guise of warning others. Don't disown people as you try to seek out, you know, support, sympathy. I'm just sharing my hurt. You're sharing your hurt by doing the very thing toward that person they did toward you. That's not forgiveness. That's payback. And then third, you refuse to harbor in your heart ill will toward the one who's hurt you. Refuse to harbor in your heart ill will toward the one who's hurt you. You don't spin against them. You don't take revenge. You know, in our curious mixture of fallenness and our twisted sense of justice, we're prone to think in our minds, you know, if I keep replaying this wrong, if I keep demonizing those who've hurt us, who's hurt me, you know, I can continue. You know what I'm feeding? He's so bad, I'm so good. I'm just feeding my sense of self-righteousness. And we forget that apart from God's active grace in our lives, there's nothing that's ever been done to you that you're not totally capable of doing towards someone else. There, but by the grace of God, go you. So what do we do when you're tempted to demand payment? What do you do? I would encourage you, if you've never seen it, to go to YouTube, to type in Bob Newhart, and to type in this skit, Stop It. This lady comes to Bob Newhart, who's playing the part of a psychiatrist, and she has these things that she's doing that are self-destructive, and he says, I'm going to give you just a real simple thing to do. And she said, what? He says, you got your pen ready? Yeah, I've got it ready. Okay, now write this down. Okay, stop it. What? Stop it. That's it. Now, you can't do that on your own strength. But by God's grace, when it comes to our failing to forgive others, we can stop it. This petition, as we forgive our debtors, it's easy to pray, but I cannot think of a harder petition to put into practice. But I want to ask you something this morning as we draw this to a close. Do you really want to spend the rest of your life being a bill collector, a bounty hunter, a person who blows himself up in order to hurt others, and someone who lives in your heavenly Father's doghouse? Do you really want that kind of life? Or do you want your life to value what God obviously values? All you have to do, look at the cross. Forgiveness is that dear to God's heart. Wow. I hope and pray that when you consider how dear to God's heart forgiveness is, that it will become important enough to you to pray from your heart, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, lack of forgiveness indeed comes at a very high cost. Probably the highest and greatest cost is what it tells others about our faith. Here we represent one who the very heart of our faith is forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. The debt has been canceled. Lord, we owe so much. That debt has been absorbed by your Son, Jesus Christ, but all people have to do is just get on our wrong side, and we begin to punish instead of forgive. Lord, help us when we are tempted not to forgive, to consider the debt that has been paid in full by your Son, Jesus Christ, and to ask ourselves, if God did that for me, can I not forgive others? Lord, give us grace to forgive. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.